Well, good morning, River Church. How we doing? God is good. Amen? Man, what a way to follow up Easter Sunday than with some baptisms. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you can clap. You can clap. If you are new here with us at the River Church, we've been walking through the book of Luke. We took a couple weeks off to celebrate Easter. We're taking one more week off because we're going to be doing some baptisms today and talking about baptisms. And so, man, if you're new here with us today, we're glad you're here. Welcome to the family. Thank you for being here. And you're here on a special day because you're going to get to celebrate new life in Christ with us today. And so we're so excited about that. I love doing baptisms the week after Easter, right? I love doing baptisms the week after Easter because during Easter, we talk about and we celebrate the resurrection. And during Easter, we talk about Christ's sacrifice at the cross and what he did for us at the cross and what his resurrection means for us as believers. And it's this beautiful thing that we talk about, we worship Jesus for, and then we get to follow that up the next week by not just talking about new life, but getting to share in new life. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Baptism is the actualization of what Easter is all about. In baptism, we get to watch as our Savior makes life new, as our Savior sets people free, as our Savior saves souls. And it's a beautiful thing that we get to take part in as a church. I love doing baptisms, celebrating people who have decided to give their life to Christ and experience the fullness of the resurrection, forgiveness of sin, and new life in Christ. But if you've ever been to a baptism service, sometimes they don't always go as planned. You ever been to one of those? I have a quick video for you. I want to show you of one I saw this week, if we can pull that up.
Now, therefore, in obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and upon your profession of faith in him as your personal Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my brother, Ethan Key, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As we are buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, lean back. Lean back, lean back. Let go. Lean back. So are we raised in the glorious beauty of his resurrection. You gotta do what you gotta do.
You did a good job.
Here, I'll take this. I'm just making sure. Just making sure you did good. Man, I thought that glass was coming down. Good job. Did we lose a contact? Oh, okay.
That's my favorite part at the end. He's like, do we lose a contact? Why are you thinking about that, right? They don't always go as planned. That kid, man, he wasn't sure. He changed his mind midway through. He's like, I don't know about this, right? One of my favorite videos I saw, I couldn't get it for us today, but it was a guy baptizing someone in a river. And so they're baptizing him in the river, and he's literally got the guy, and they're starting to go down, and somebody goes, there's a crocodile in the river! And the pastor drops the dude and gets out of there. And like the other guy still went under, and so we were debating, like, does that count? Like, is that... I mean, I think if you go under the water while your life is at risk, that's like extra baptism, right? Like, that's like you have extra faith. So I don't know. But I did say this. I was like, I know one thing. If I'm that dude, I'm not going back to that church because that pastor abandoned you immediately as he was in trouble. So we don't have any alligators or crocodiles here. And if you hold on, we're just going to keep pushing, okay? So we'll figure it out. So... No, we love baptisms, right? We love baptisms, and they're beautiful and wonderful. But I was thinking about it, even as we saw videos like that, and thinking about it this week and what that means. I mean, you might be wondering, and it's a fair question, why do we do this? What's the purpose of baptisms? Why is it that Christians put people in a tank of water, dunk them underwater and pull them up? Like, especially you watch that video and you're like, why? And that's a fair question, right? Like, that's a fair question. Why do we do this? And so as we have baptisms today, I want to talk a little bit about why we as Christians do that. And one thing that's pretty cool if you look at baptisms is that it's something that the church has been doing for over 2,000 years, even earlier than the time of Jesus, the church had been baptizing people for over 2,000 years. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. It's pretty cool. But that doesn't really answer the question, why, does it? Because there's a lot of things that we do that we say, well, why do we do that? Well, it's what we've always done. And that's not a good reason, is it? Matter of fact, some of the things that we do because we've always done is really stupid things that we still do. Amen? Right? So why do we do it? Why is it that, yeah, it's cool that we've been doing this for 2,000 years. It's this pretty beautiful tradition that the church has. But why do we do it? And I'll start off by saying this. We got the idea from Jesus. It's not our idea. As a matter of fact, as we've been walking through the book of Luke, if you remember all the way back in chapter 3, we actually studied Jesus' baptism all the way back then. If you remember the story, there's this guy, John the Baptist, and you get the nickname John the Baptist because you baptize a lot of people, right? That was a joke. There's this guy, appreciate that. There's this guy, John the Baptist, and he's baptizing people, and he's going around, and he's preaching the gospel, and he's preaching about the coming of Christ, and he's baptizing people into the faith. And then there's this moment where Jesus approaches John the Baptist and asks John to baptize him. Now, if you can imagine being John the Baptist, you're going to feel completely unworthy. You're going to feel like, why are you asking me? You, Jesus, this can't be possible that you would choose me to baptize you. I'm not worthy to baptize you, Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's exactly John's response, is I'm not worthy to do this. But Jesus says, no, I want you to baptize me. And we're going to look at it. Look at Luke chapter 3, 21 through 22. It says, when all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And as he was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, and with you I am well pleased. If you could imagine being there in this moment, how amazing must that have been? You're seeing the Trinity at work. You're seeing Jesus in this moment being baptized. You're seeing the Holy Spirit ascending like a dove. You're seeing the Father speaking his approval over the Son. And it's this beautiful moment where Jesus comes and is baptized. And the first thing I want you to know is one reason why we baptize is because when we are baptized, number one, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, we are following Christ's example. We're following Christ's example. As he was baptized, we get baptized. You say, well, why does Jesus do this himself? Why is there this moment where Holy Spirit comes down, the Father speaks his approval over the Son? What's going on there? Why is this happening? Well, one thing that happens as Jesus is getting baptized is this marks a shift in Jesus' life. This is marking a change in Jesus' life. You say, what change? This marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry on earth. And so as he's going to get baptized, before that, it's not that he's unknown, but he kind of is. And after this moment, he gets baptized, he goes out, and it marks the beginning of his public ministry on earth. And Jesus, in his baptism, is identifying with the people he's about to save. As Jesus, in his baptism, he's identifying with sinners. Not that he's a sinner, because he's not. He's perfect, but it's this symbolic moment of what he's going to take on for us at the cross. It's a Savior taking on the sin of the world and through his death and resurrection, defeating sin, death, hell, and the grave forever. In Jesus' baptism, we see a picture of what he's going to do for us, Jesus, who will make all things new. And so we get baptized, one, because we're following the example of Christ. But what's interesting is Jesus doesn't just give us the example of baptism. We don't just look at it as a church and we go, well, they put Jesus in some water and, you know, dunked him under and came out, so let's do that. No, we don't just baptize because of that. We also baptize because not only did Jesus get baptized, but secondly, Jesus told us to get baptized. So we're not just following the example of Christ, we're obeying the command of Christ. If you remember, Jesus lives on earth. He teaches us the nature and the heart of God. He shows us who God is, and we watch as he heals and restores and does all these beautiful miracles, and he teaches us who God is. Then we watch through his death and his resurrection, this Savior of the world. And then right before he ascends back up into heaven, right before he goes back to the right hand of the Father, Jesus has the disciples together, and he's going to tell them something before he goes away. And if you remember this moment, or if you've ever been with someone when maybe in their last moments, whether they're about to pass away, maybe they're about to pass away and die, or maybe it's this moment where they're going away for a long time and you're not going to see them for a long time, but they gather you together and they say, "Hey, I have some important things to tell you." What are you going to do? You're going to hang on to those words, aren't you? You're going to remember those words. If it's somebody's final words to you before they go away, you're going to make sure that you pay attention to those words, don't you? So Jesus gathers the disciples together, and right before he goes away, he tells them this, Matthew 28:19-20. And by the way, these words aren't just for the disciples back then. These words are for disciples today. Amen? Jesus tells them in verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus' final words to his disciples before he goes away, one of the last things he says to them before he goes back up into heaven, "Make disciples. Spread the gospel. Baptize new believers into the faith and teach them how to follow me." And then if there's a question of, "But Jesus, how can we do that? How can we do that?" Remember, I'm with you always. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. And so when we get baptized as Christians, we're not just following Jesus' example, but we're being obedient to a command that came straight from Jesus' lips. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of time, and I don't like to admit this, especially because I've got to pretend to be super holy up on the stage, you know. But there's a lot of times as Christians where maybe we're struggling, or maybe we're going through some things, or maybe there's, I don't know, maybe you have some decisions to make in your life, and you're not sure whether you go to the left or to the right. You don't know necessarily what's the right thing and the wrong thing, and you're trying to walk through it, and you're trying to figure it out. You ever been there? Probably not you guys, mainly just me, right? No, I'm super wise, too. I know, don't worry, guys. I got it all together. Don't you worry. Got it all together. And we have those moments as Christians where we're not sure, right, what the next step is, or what, you know, left or right, or what we do next. But one thing I know as a Christian is we can see these words of Jesus to baptize, to be baptized, to go and baptize. And when we become a Christian and we get baptized, we can know 100% without a doubt we are being obedient to Christ in that moment. And that's pretty cool. And for us as a church, when we celebrate baptisms and when we baptize new believers, we can know that without a shadow of a doubt, we are being obedient to the words of Christ. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? For me as a pastor, when I get to baptize the people that I'm going to be baptizing today, it's this amazing moment for me as a pastor because I'm hearing those words of Jesus ring in my ears. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And as we're baptizing as a pastor, I get goosebumps because I know I'm being obedient to the words of Christ. And that is so stinking cool, isn't it? I mean, it's holy and it's spiritual and it's beautiful and it's an honor that we share together, but it's also really cool that we're all, as a church family, getting to take part in this together. No one is doing this alone. We're taking part in this together. So we get baptized to follow Christ's example. We baptize and get baptized to be obedient to the words of Christ. But we're not just following the example. We're not just being obedient. But for those being baptized today, number three, baptism is a physical demonstration of their new spiritual reality. Baptism is a physical demonstration of a new spiritual reality. What's so cool about baptism is it's a picture of what God is actually doing in you. It's a picture of God bringing you from death into life. You were once spiritually dead, but now you are being raised to life in Christ. For those being baptized today, listen to these words from Colossians chapter 2, 12 through 14. It says, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. So when you were dead, he, talking about Jesus, made you alive with him and forgave us all of our trespasses. Verse 14, he erased the certificate of debt and with its obligations, praise Jesus, that was against us and opposed to us and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Praise his name. What Paul just told us there is your old life is buried with Christ. You have now been raised to new life through faith. You are not the same as you once were. Your old life is dead. Your sin is dead, and you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. He said you owed a debt because of your sin, a debt you could not pay. You owed a debt because of your sin, and Jesus nailed your debt to the cross. You are made new. Jesus has saved your soul, and he is transforming your life. Praise be to Jesus. And baptism is a visual and a symbolic demonstration of that old life passing away and being born new through Christ. It's a baptism is a picture of that salvation. We were buried in our sin, but Jesus raised us to life through faith. We were dead, but we are made alive through Christ. And as we go down into the water, it's this beautiful symbolism of your old self dying and coming out of the water, a new creation in Christ. The significance of baptism is a picture of the former life being put to death and entering into new life as a Christian. Baptism is a picture of being set free from the dominion of sin, shame, guilt, and death that sin has brought into your life and being made new in Christ. And I don't get it wrong, because the baptism doesn't cleanse you of your sin. There's nothing special about this tank of water. I mean, it's tap water, guys, right? It's not holy water. We didn't pray over it. It's not even like Evian, right? We didn't like get the bottled water and pour it in there, right? It's just tap water, right? And there might even be a little dirt in there. It's okay. It's fine, right? It's fine. There's nothing special about the water, but there is some beautiful symbolism in what it represents, because it's symbolic of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ who has set you free. And so for those of you who have been baptized, and for those of you who are being baptized today, don't think that as you repent of your sin, as you give your life to Jesus, you have been set free. You've been set free from sin, guilt, shame, and the grave. You are forgiven of your past. That is the promise of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that you have done, there is nothing that you can do that is stronger than the cross of Christ and his sacrifice at Calvary. So don't hold on to your past. Don't allow the enemy to tell you you're not worthy. Don't allow the enemy to tell you you're not good enough. Don't you let the enemy try to shame you and guilt you. The enemy is a liar, but God will tell you the truth. Christ has made you new. Christ is setting you free. You still might have some struggles. Christ is setting you free. So don't you dare listen to the lies of the enemy. what Christ has done for you through the cross is stronger than anything you can do, anything you will do. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. The devil is a liar who's been defeated and crushed. It's over. So for those of you being baptized, those of you who have been baptized, walk in freedom today. Walk in confidence today that you are a son, you are a daughter, you are loved by the Creator of all things. And as we watch baptisms today, for those of us who know Christ in the room, remind yourself of those truths. Because you may be watching somebody get baptized today and you're going, that's great for them, but you need to remember the power of Christ in you. You need to remember the sin-cleansing, shame, death-defeating power of Christ. You need to remember who He is that has made you new. You need to walk in confidence that you are a son, you are a daughter of Christ. You need to go back and remember your salvation and what Christ has done for you. Don't return to the old. Don't return to the old. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you to return to the old. You are new. And just like He said at the cross, it's finished. You have been made new. And so in baptisms, we're following the example of Christ. We're being obedient to Jesus. Baptisms are a demonstration physically of our new spiritual reality. And finally today, as we follow Jesus' example in baptism, those of you being baptized today, it's a beautiful thing. You are declaring publicly to your church, to your friends, to your family, what God has done for you. You're telling the world, God has changed my life. I'm not who I was. I've been made new. And what's really cool for that as a church family is as you declare publicly what has happened in you privately, we get to celebrate with you. We get to party with you. We get to shout and clap and praise Jesus with you. Because here's the thing about any big celebration, here's the thing about any big moment in life, whether it's a new baby being born or a birthday party or a wedding celebration or a retirement party, whatever it is, big moments in life are better when they're celebrated with family. And so today, as your family, we get to celebrate with you. Today, as your family, we get to praise God with you because we are family in Christ. We are connected as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to hear this. We're in this together. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 says this. There's going to be a word in here he repeats over and over and over, and I want you to hear it. There is one body and one spirit. And just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all things and through all and in all. That means a lot of things, but one big theme here is we are one in Christ. And as we celebrate baptisms together, we don't celebrate it by watching you walk up and go, that's great, they got in a tank, good for them. No, no, no. We celebrate because we're family. And we celebrate because it's not just some person up there having their life changed by Jesus. It's a brother and a sister being saved by Christ. And so we celebrate with our brother. We celebrate with our sister. As you tell the world, Christ has changed you. Know that you are loved by your church family. You will never walk alone because you have family here who will do this with you. And so not only do we celebrate with you today, but we commit to you today that when things get hard, when life is tough, when you're tempted to go back to your old life, when the walk with Jesus isn't easy, when you struggle, we are here for you. And we are here with you. And we walk together as one church, one body. And that doesn't just go for people being baptized today. That goes for this whole place. Amen? Are we one family? One church, one body. We're in this together. Now, are we going to be perfect at it? Nope. I'll probably make you mad. You'll probably make me mad. I'll probably say something on the stage that's really stupid one day, and you're like, I can't believe he said that, and I'll need to apologize for that, but we'll move past it. But the point is, we're family. And family fights, family squabbles, family has issues, but we're family. And so if you're getting baptized today, or you have been baptized today, if you're a member of the River Church, we're in this together. And so in baptisms, as a family, we get to be a part of what Jesus is doing in one another's lives, in family life. And so let me end with this. When it comes to baptisms and salvations today, because we're family, let's celebrate like family. Amen? I've been to places, and I said this last time, I've been to places where you watch and somebody goes and gets baptized, and it's kind of like, that's great. Is Chili's open yet? Can we get to lunch yet? That ain't happening here, is it? No, because we're going to celebrate not like people who've forgotten the miracle of salvation. We're going to celebrate today like people who have seen the miracle of salvation and are so grateful that God is changing lives and saving souls in our midst. Amen? Because this isn't, you can clap, it's okay. You can cut me off if you want to clap, it's okay. You're like, it's not important, we want to clap. This isn't some old church, or this isn't some old religion where the God is dead. This is a place where God is alive, God is moving, God is saving souls, and as we witness baptisms today, we get to watch and see living and breathing examples of God's grace in our midst. We get to watch his power to conquer sin, his ability to change lives, his ability to restore what was broken. And so we're going to worship and we're going to praise and we're going to glorify God today because he is alive, he is at work, and he is changing lives. And by the way, church, that should strengthen your faith today. That should get you excited today that God is at work. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, church. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to worship Jesus a little bit longer, like people who've seen salvation. The guys are going to pass out communion. If you would like to partake in communion, you can. It's something we do every week. We just give you an opportunity to worship and remember what Christ has done for you through communion. That's something you do on your own. But we're going to worship and we're going to praise Jesus and we're going to glorify his name because of what he has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what we're about to witness in this horse trough. Amen? But let us worship Jesus like people who've seen the power of salvation and who have experienced the power of salvation. Amen? We're going to do that, and then once we finish, we're going to come up. We're going to have a party, all right? God, I love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are alive in this place, that you are working in this place, that you are moving in this place. God, we praise your name and we celebrate your name and we honor your name for your goodness and your majesty and your glory. God, we praise your name. God, we thank you that this is not some dead religion with a dead God, but this is a place where you are alive and moving. Your spirit is in this place. And you're calling people to your name. And you're saving souls. And so, God, we want to celebrate today. We want to honor you today. And we're going to worship you today. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen.